Welcome to the Women on Fire podcast. We're on a mission to help you have your best menopause and rest of your life. I'm your host, Jenna Moore. I'm an accredited integrative health and menopause coach, and I've studied nutritional awareness, women's hormones through a functional medicine lens, and explored various modalities, including breathwork, mindset, and positive psychology. Join me and my guests as we discuss how to navigate the natural life transition of menopause and growing older. From waistlines, waning libidos, and what to wear now we're over 40, we discuss it all. Women on Fire is sponsored by MenoMe, a New Zealand-based company by women for women. MenoMe specialises in scientifically validated all-natural supplements so you can experience freedom in menopause. Today I am thrilled to introduce you to my guest, Anna Veal from Fresh Coaching. Now, Anna Veal is a men's mindset coach. So she works with men, busy, high-functioning men, to help them get connected to what matters. And she says she does this using what she calls her men's formula. Anna has 20 years experience in the wellness industry and has worked with everyone from business owners to professional sportsmen. Indeed, she's worked with England Premier Rugby team, the Saracens, other footballers, rowers, and Marines. So while she works with both genders, she says that she feels that her passion for working with men probably comes from her three brothers, who she says are incredible role models, which I think is a lovely story. She also adds that she's been privileged to witness the growth and success of hundreds of men that she's worked with throughout her career. So we love that. High fives to you, Anna. Anna is the book Only Human, which actually lays out her men's formula, but she says it can be applied to anyone as well. She holds diplomas in life coaching, is a quantum mindfulness practitioner and coach. She's worked with acceptance and commitment therapy and also mental health first aid, which I hadn't heard of before, but it seems a very, very apt modality for life in the 21st century, doesn't it? As well as that, she underpins a lot of her teachings with the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda. And as an area of interest, although she doesn't actually work in these modalities anymore, she's also a personal trainer and a Pilates and yoga instructor. Through her work, she uses mindfulness, breath work, visualization, and meditation, which has worked for her as well. So one of Anna's specialties, and she says her core age group for her clientele, her male clientele, is around 36 to 55. So one of her specialties is actually helping and guiding men who have female partners who may be going through perimenopause, menopause, or even navigating the changes of postmenopause. So I'm delighted to have Anna in the studio today, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. Thank you so much for joining us at Women on Fire today. We are delighted to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. And I think what you can talk about today is such an important conversation about men, but we'll go into that in a little bit. But first of all, can I just ask you about your own journey? Because I know you're in your middle, early 40s, aren't you? Early?
Yeah,
I
just turned 46.
Oh, really? I thought you were younger than that.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel it some days.
So I know perimenopause kind of crept up on you. Am I right there? Would you mind sharing your little story?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, just a little sort of backstory with me in terms of my health and fitness. I've been in the industry for well over 20 years. And when I was personal training, I used to see people my age now, and they would be talking about the struggles that they had, and I just couldn't relate. So I'd be like, oh, I just, no, you look great. And a lot of the women would, that I would train were very fit and strong, and they would always complain about this bit around their belly. And me as a 25-year-old would look at them and go, no, like, I just can't see it. You look fantastic. And, you know, they were my kind of goals for when I hit perimenopause. And back then it wasn't spoken about, to be quite honest.
No.
And here I am 25 years later with this barrel around my middle and my body starting to change. And that kind of kicked in when I was about 43. So I was pretty fit and strong until 43. And then all of a sudden, the things that I used to be able to do just weren't working for me. And more than that, I just kept getting heaps and heaps of injuries, especially into my joints, and extreme migraines, which, to be fair, I've had all my life, but they kicked me from the age of 43 up until around 6 or 8 months ago. But I guess for me, yeah, like I say, coming from being reasonably fit and strong and aware and body aware and in the industry, so having an idea of what to expect, it pretty much was my 43rd birthday, and I found myself crying into my porridge. And 1 minute I was feeling strong and vibrant, and the next minute, literally within the matter of an hour, I didn't know who I was, and I was forgetting things, and I was crying, and I was angry, like really angry for no reason. And yeah, like I say, for the last 3 years, it's just been a bit of a roller coaster, really. And when you're a mum, you've got elderly, I've got an elderly mum on the other side of the world, I've got two teenagers, it's just full noise and really quite confusing at times.
Yeah, exactly. Did you realise what was going on?
I didn't, to be honest, because it was in and amongst COVID as well. So I had the isolation that I felt from not being able to go back to England, which is really important to me. And I'm sort of quite an A-type person anyway, so I've sort of set myself quite high standards and sometimes unrealistic ones. So when my body was doing the thing that I didn't want it to do, I was getting frustrated. Instead of being compassionate towards myself, I was judging myself, and I was kind of going, well, this is not fair. Like, what, I should be able to do this, and I'm a role model. And I set all these sort of unrealistic expectations. So it probably took a while for me to put two and two together that it was perimenopause. But I think for me, the low point was on my 43rd birthday, when my son wrote me a birthday card. And he said 5 facts about mum, and number 3 was she cries a lot. And I thought, oh, I've got to do something about this now.
That's so sad, isn't it? Did you explain, how old was your son then?
He would have been about 11.
And you have a daughter as well?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She would have been about 8 at the time. Yeah, 8 or 9.
So did you explain to them what was going on?
Yeah, well, I think, the beautiful thing about children, isn't it, is that they can be your mirror. And so when somebody so close to you says it and they don't mean it in a negative way, because when I read it, I was like, oh, man. And he said, but you do. And so it was just coming from a place of, it's a fact. I was thinking of the 5 things, and she's kind, she's funny, she's caring, she cries a lot type thing. It was an opportunity for me to get off the treadmill and actually have a look at what was going on for me, and then address those symptoms, because I certainly didn't want my children growing up thinking that, one, that there was anything wrong with crying for a start, but 2, that it wasn't about them. Because I think the problem that we have is that if we don't understand ourselves, then we haven't got the skills to be able to tell our children that it's not about them. And then they can kind of make it mean something more than it is. So now we have very open conversations. Hey guys, just so you know, I'm at a 4 out of 10 today. So if I lose the plot, then it's not necessarily anything that you're doing any different to what you were doing yesterday. So just have a bit of compassion for your mum, but also just ignore me. So they have a better understanding.
Love that. That's so great and very growing for them as well. So yeah. Can I also ask you that in your training as a personal trainer, and you're also a Pilates instructor and a yoga instructor?
Yeah.
And any of that, is there any particular specific training to do with a body, a woman's body, as it goes through into perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, the changes that happen with that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the personal training side of things, I left that part of my career a while ago, but I think adaptation is really, really important. And so for women, having an understanding of what's going on physiologically for them so that they then don't have the same identity crisis that I did. So for me, I was always, it was hardcore, it was high impact, it was boxing, it was running, it was, you know, high intensity training. And then, like I say, when I hit that kind of 43, 44 mark, one, it was completely depleting my stores. So I always used to train first thing in the morning, get up, smash out a workout, dominate the day. I had to really change how I structured my training. So it was more 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning when I got the best out of my workouts. Appreciate people sometimes might not have the flexibility to do that, but just having that awareness. Mm. The other thing for me was to be more restorative. So to get outside more in nature, more walking. I did heaps of Pilates at that time. Especially because I was having the migraine and the back problems, just having to adapt from that hardcore to more restorative on my nervous system. And that's when I brought the yin yoga into my own training so that I could complement the yin with the yang. So the high intensity with the more restorative, compassionate, quiet time. Yeah.
That's really interesting. And also, as someone that has worked out like that for so long, did you or have you, I feel like it comes along a bit later, but the data says that it starts in our 40s. And this is loss of, I'm talking here about loss of muscle mass. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly in my own physique, 100%. Like, we start to lose our muscle mass from, I think, around 35. And I forget the exact numbers, but an amazing person, Dr. Stacey Sims, has been doing heaps of research on FEMA. I'm sure you know her well, but her research on the female body and how important strength training is huge. So from a perspective of women's training, especially for those who are used to kind of like that message that cardio is king or queen, then certainly doing some research around how strength training can benefit them would be huge.
Thank you. That's amazing advice because, yeah, Dr. Stacey Sims, she says just lift heavy shit. Right.
Yeah, she really does. Yeah. And she's got a very, very good point. And the other thing is, one thing I would say, because we have like the people that like exercise and have exercised for a long time. And then we've got the people that potentially are just more sedentary and they know they've got to do something and they might be starting out. So I think it's important to let people know that there are different options. So, Pilates, for example, is absolutely fantastic and is a form of strength training. So we don't have to be doing necessarily like joining gyms and doing all this crazy stuff. Yes, if that's your jam and you want to do that, 100%. But there are modalities out there that are going to complement the body if you are a newcomer or the thought of a gym brings you out into yet another hot sweat.
Yeah, because just on that point, actually, the nature, one of the hallmarks of menopause, perimenopause, menopause, is that we go into more of a pro-inflammatory state. Mm-hmm. So we can get a lot of aches and pains in a systemic and often in our fascia also rather than the joints. And I had that really badly and I was a gym bunny back in the day and a runner and what have you. But I'm not capable of doing that now. And there's also, I think or believe, correct me if I'm wrong, perhaps a little bit of rehabilitation element in there too from that, because it changes and we can't use it the way we did once did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I don't know about you, but did it kind of knock your confidence a little bit?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, not only does it affect us physically, we have that adaptation of sort of almost recreating who we are as a person and as a woman. And there's a lot of letting go in that. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right in terms of the inflammation. Certainly for me, I did a lot of sports massage therapy and boxing, and I pretty much had to choose one or the other for a good couple of years. So I reduced the boxing down because massage was my income. And then over the last sort of 7 years, I've been in coaching, but massage has been supplementing that as I've built the business. And now it's only in the last sort of 6 or 8 months that I've introduced boxing back into my regime because I love it so much. But my joints just couldn't take both. So it was choose something that you love to do or choose your income. So, but I think you're right. The fascia doors so much and is a beautiful opportunity for us to on a psychological and on a physiological level to shed a skin, if you like, and let go and recreate so we can enjoy the next 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I know that's not what we came on here to talk about, but it's quite fascinating, isn't it?
It really is. And it kind of all links together, really, because if we feel good about ourselves or if we understand ourselves better as females, then the partners in our lives are going to thrive from that as well, you know. So it kind of links in.
Yeah. And just one more thing on the aches and pains and the fascia, like the yogis would say issues in the tissues. And there's a belief system that once we get to perimenopause, menopause, if we haven't dealt with some of the things in our lives that are internal, they can manifest as issues in our tissues.
I love that, absolutely. And case in point, my father died when I just moved over to New Zealand and I had 2 young kids. And it was a really tricky time, but it was a time of busyness. I had a 3-year-old, an 18-month-old. I was establishing a new business in a new town. I didn't have the support structure around me to grieve the way I could. The only people that understood were back in England. And I bottled that shit up. And yes, I meditated. And that's when I learned to meditate, actually, when my father died. But to be strong, I held it all in. And then when we moved up to Tauranga, I've got a beautiful friend, CJ, who does amazing yoga classes. And I used to go to her on a Friday night and I'd get into one position, like a hip opener position. And I would literally just sob and sob and sob. And then I would like recover, get back in the car, sleep like a log. And then the following week, go back, the same thing would happen. And exactly what you've just described. As human beings, we hold on to every cell in the body is listening, and we hold on and it stores itself in the fascia. And science is catching up with what the yogis have known all along. And we store it and it stores as tension. And when we go into that more restorative phase, the more yin, the more nurturing, the more compassionate side, and we really allow it to be there just as it is without trying to change anything, without trying to fix anything, we can get the most profound shifts and releases through our body. Yeah. Amazing,
isn't it? And it's so good to know. Yeah. So, I hope that will probably help quite a few people out there, I think, because it's not well known, is it? And I certainly learned it through the School of Hard Knocks and Ayurveda, actually, which I know you have a special interest in, and we'll get to that. But just circling back to your own home and sharing with the children what was going on with you, did you share it with your husband as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really lucky that I've got a very solid relationship with my husband, and he's really grounded. So he's my balancing. I'm sort of quite up and down, always have been, and he's my anchor. So he sees things before I do often. And I think probably the most challenging thing for him is when I retreated. So my natural personality is to be quite open and bubbly, and what you see is what you get. And there was a period of 3 years where I literally would just retract, and I didn't have the words to describe how I was feeling. So I couldn't even articulate that to him. So the easiest way was just to pull back. And so I know we've spoken about it just recently before coming on the podcast, actually. And he said probably the hardest thing was not knowing what he was going to come into when he came home from work. Was it going to be the Anna that he knows and is bouncy and caring and interested? Or is it going to be Anna who's finding trying to cut an onion to put in the stir fry too overwhelming and in a ball of tears? So I think for him that he was confused, but probably the biggest habit that I got into that he didn't feel too comfortable was me pulling away and retreating, because he wasn't used to that. Yeah.
That's interesting, but it's great that he can share that with you, because that is one of the things you do, isn't it? You coach men, and one of the things you do is you help the guys who have a female partner that is going through perimenopause, menopause, when most of the signs and symptoms occur, maybe even post-menopause, because they can go on for some women. You help them understand that and help them through that, don't you? How does that show up? How do you discover that they are dealing with this and finding it, being a bit blindsided by it probably, are they?
Yeah, I mean, it's confusing for our men, that's for sure. And one of the reasons I decided to specialise in men's coaching is because I bring the female lens into the situation. So often men will come to me because their partners have said, it would be great if you had some coaching. Like, we not need some help, but it's not counselling. Coaching's not counselling. So basically, I coach people to understand themselves better so then they can be better with their partners, with their children, with their work colleagues, and so on and so forth. So generally speaking, the pattern goes, the guy will come in, he doesn't know me from a bar of soap. There's that element of building trust and me getting to know them. And so work is the most superficial thing. So work and their habits. So, like, you know, what's life like at work? How are you going at work? What's going on for you? What are your challenges? What are your strengths? Like, what do you see showing up in your day? And then we kind of look at their habits and behaviors. So how are they sleeping? How are they eating? Are they moving their body? Are they making time for themselves? When was the last time they laughed? When was the last time they had, you know, a true intimate connection with either their partner or actually with their mates? You know, when was the last time they spoke to their mates beyond the football score or the rugby score at the weekend? So generally speaking, we'll kind of touch on that. And then once the trust is established, then we can talk about sort of more pressing things that might be going on at home. And generally speaking, our men want the best for our women, right? Like, happy life, happy wife, or happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
And they just want the best for their partners, because they know that when their partners are happy, the dynamics just flow through the family. But they're confused as to what to do and how to help. Generally men are fix it, you know, well, if you're tired, sleep, you know, if you're hungry, eat. And they don't understand the complexities necessarily of women, and they find it very confusing. And it's my job to be able to hold space and listen to the guys in a way that they don't feel judged, and then for them to come to their own conclusion as to how they may be contributing to the madness, and offer solutions. And we do it together, like, what would work in your family, and how do you think your partner might react if you were to do XYZ? Shall we try that for a week? And then together we start to build a bit more of a solid support system for their wives.
And do you find, because I'm not sure what if you have a typical demographic, you probably work with all ages, don't you? But do you see a lot of this, men being confused by the hormonal shifts of midlife?
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me, you kind of, coaching is very private, and it's getting better, but it's not something like you have a massage, somebody says, oh, go and see Anna, she does a great massage. Coaching is a very private thing. But what I'm noticing more and more is that the wives are saying to their friends, oh my goodness, so-and-so seeing a coach, she was great for our relationship, why don't they give it a try? So that's kind of how they're coming through. It's kind of through the wives leading them here. But most of my clients are between kind of 36 and 55. So it's that real, you know, and yes, I do coach women and I do coach teenagers, but generally speaking, when I'm talking male specific, they tend to be that sort of age group. So kind of in the midst of young children, hormones, aging parents, and that real high stress, you know, that need to provide. The shift of women working, yes, and you know, equal rights and all that sort of thing is here, but from an evolutionary perspective, our males want to feel like they can provide for their family, and that is kind of an unconscious bias that's in their mind. So when they feel that they can't provide and they're not being of service to their partners, they feel stuck and confused, and often it will show up in drinking more, putting their health last, maybe just retreating themselves, scrolling through you know, their phone or watching Netflix and becoming disassociated. So it's really important that we understand that the men aren't being lazy and they're not being uncommunicative. It's often they're scared, they feel under pressure, they're feeling the stress of finances and how to support their family, and they're feeling really disconnected from themselves but also their partners, and they don't know how to help you know, themselves or other people.
Because it's often said that menopause affects 50% of the population. I've changed that recently to 100% of the population, because it does affect all the guys, doesn't it? Whether they have a female partner, they might be a boss of a female in perimenopause or some stage of menopause, a friend, a cousin, it's huge, isn't it?
Absolutely. The ripple effect is absolutely massive. And I think the more we talk about it, the more it becomes the norm and it's accepted. I liken it to my son. He, at the age of 18 months or something, 2 years, it was apparent that he was going to have to wear glasses. Now, my dad and I were really worried about it. We were like, oh, he's going to get teased at school and all these things. But life has moved on now, and kids just accept kids with glasses. There's no bullying, there's no teasing, and there's so much more acceptance of things that when I was at school would have been a really big deal. You know, if I took the wrong plastic bag to school back in England, you know, you were ripped to pieces. So things have changed, and so my hope is that, you know, in a decade's time or less, hopefully, that we talk about periods and hormones and perimenopause and menopause in workplaces, at home, with our children, so that it becomes so normal that when a man is confronted with a woman that's potentially displaying signs of perimenopause, one, he doesn't take it personally, two, he doesn't give her a disciplinary, three, if it's a work, obviously, three, he has the opportunity and the skills to be able to go to them and say, I can see that there's a shift, what can we do? How can we wrap around you? How can we support you? How can we make you feel seen and heard? My gosh, wouldn't that be an amazing world to live in?
Oh, my gosh, yes. But one thing to get there too, we also, there's another element to it, and that's the ageism in our society.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's tackling both of those issues, really.
Really.
Now,
is.
There is a serious, far more serious side to this than I found in my research. And it's a story I share often because it just blew my mind. And that was, I was researching, it was a story about males with female partners going through perimenopause. And I stumbled across a Facebook group in the United States for men. And it was full of broken-hearted men whose wives of 30 years or very, very long-term partners had hit midlife, and all of a sudden walked out the door, blocked their calls. I've had this in direct messaging through live chat in the Men Know Me business as well, with men, usually in America, often in America, because I don't think guys down under and in the UK are perhaps as open. But certainly it happens, and they are just, they are brokenhearted, and they don't understand what's happening. That all of a sudden there's been this huge shift and all communication has been stopped. Have you ever seen anything like that with any of your clients?
Yeah, sadly I have. I think there's two sides to it. There's one, obviously we go through huge shifts from a physiological perspective and a psychological perspective. So I mentioned earlier about the shedding. We're becoming a new person. So that's one side. And if you've got a partner that you've been through in relationships, there's the getting to know each other phase. There's the kind of honeymoon phase, and you're all kind of you're settled in and you're kind of feeling comfortable. And then we've got that fractious phase. And that's where we have, I don't know, somebody dies. For my husband and I, it was probably my father dying was probably one of the big ones that was fractious, emigrating to a different country. So those moments, they're either going to bring you together or they're, and that's what we're wanting, is we're out of this comfortable phase and we're now finding out, you know, whether our relationship's got any sort of depth to it. And that's where we can, if we get through that phase, we go into the repair phase. And when we repair, it's about that connection. We're stronger than we were as a result of going through this hardship. Now, if you've been with somebody for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, there's going to be lots of those moments, from you know, significant situations like my father dying to well, I choose to sleep on the left side of the bed and you want to sleep on the left side of the bed. So, well, who's going to sleep on the right? You know, so all of the different compromises and challenges that we have in between. But hopefully in a healthy relationship, what happens is we go from that comfortable and we have that fractious time, and then we come back, we rebuild, we become stronger, we repair, and then the cycle kind of continues. I think often what happens in relationships is that, because we're not taught how to communicate when we're at school, and this, I mean, it's getting better now with so much access to information, but my generation, certainly, we weren't taught that thoughts aren't real. We weren't taught that feelings weren't fact. So, you know, I'd have a thought and a feeling and I'd just jump on it and then, you know, find myself backpedaling. So if your communication is strong, then that's going to warrant having a really strong relationship. And so when you hit perimenopause and menopause, you, like, so in my case, I know that my marriage is strong and I love my husband. But if I didn't have that, then that's when the cracks start to appear. So if I was in a relationship whereby there was no communication, we'd been through those sorts of things, but every time a challenge came up, I went and talked to my friend about it, or I didn't talk to my husband about it, or he went and got pissed at the pub instead of coming home when he said he was going to come home. All of a sudden, when perimenopause and menopause hits, we start to see not only a shift and a rising of ourselves as women, but we see this disconnect from our marriage. And I think that's where we start to go wrong. So whoever's listening to this, if you can take an honest inventory of where your marriage is at, and really both of you have the courage and bravery to actually assess what you're like when you hit those fractious times, and what your habits might be, which are not wrong or bad, but what are you doing to fuse your relationship and make your relationship stronger? When you hit perimenopause and menopause, it's not going to be a make or break at that point. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, it does. Absolutely, it makes sense. Because sometimes I have thought, well, how have you been in the relationship? Because sometimes people don't realise how they act, do they? They might go along quite blind to the fact that they're not actually haven't got a history of being a very good partner, or that in some ways it's been lacking in terms of supporting the women, because the other side of that conversation too is that as women enter this life phase, they change. They tend to not care so much about what other people think and also take more ownership of their own life, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you have been disconnected from your partner and then you hit perimenopause and menopause, I mean, you're going to look at what's if I've got another 40 years to live, do I want to be spending it with somebody who hasn't got an interest in me or is choosing the pub over me in her eyes or whatever it might be? There is this point where we do get to choose something different. Often our children are a little bit older and you know, don't need us as much, so it's a really transformative phase for a woman. But I would say that if you've been through those processes with your partner, it yields for a stronger relationship. And if you haven't, it's not broken. It just means that you can go back and assess it. Because we only know what we know until we look under the bonnet, and then we start to uncover some of our own bad habits and some of theirs.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Because we don't always see ourselves clearly, do we?
No. No.
Oh, well, thank you. This has been a fascinating conversation.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to put you on the spot, and this can be tough, but what would be three pull-out tips totally off the top of your head that you would give to guys or give females to give to their male partners? Just three pull-out tips of you've said a lot earlier, but just three that we can crisp down into little nuggets of how they can navigate this life, you know, life stage in this female partner of theirs.
Sure thing. Okay, so the first one for our men to know is don't take it personally. It's nothing to do with you. And so when you can take away your ego and not make it mean anything about you, then you can be really present in helping your woman. But as soon as you make it mean about something about you, then you're detracting from what potentially might be a decade's worth of hormonal shift. So it's one, it's not about you. Two would be communicate. I see that you're not looking yourself. What can I do to help? Do you want me to listen or do you want me to fix? Sometimes us women just need to have a complete vent, and sometimes we just need you to completely listen and not say, well, why don't you get off your phone and go to bed earlier? Like, we just don't need the fix it bit. So just hold space and ask them if they want you to listen or to fix it. And then probably the third thing would be to, actually, can I do four?
Yes, of course.
Even numbers.
Give us more.
I think the third thing is to, if you see something around the house that could be done, please just do it. Like, for me, I find cooking really overwhelming, and Greg now will just come home, he'll do the cooking, and I actually find cleaning the kitchen up much more relaxing than I do cooking. So if you see something around the house that could be done, can you just do it? And then don't expect anything back. Don't expect a thanks. Just do it because you love her. And that will literally come back in kind. It will come back in full circle for you. And then probably the fourth one is we're like slow cookers. So when it comes to the intimacy part, which is a whole other podcast in itself, but
yeah,
you know, females want to feel loved. They want to feel connected. And that's not just having you try it on at 10:30 at night and have a quickie. It's the slow burn. So it's the, how's your day going? Oh, you look really nice this morning. It's the making them a cup of tea. It's the check-ins in the afternoon. It's the, like I've just said, maybe the dinner. You're much more likely to create that trust and that safety. And when she feels safe, she's going to want to then be intimate with you. So We're not the air fryer, we're the slow cooker. So when you're looking at creating intimacy, those little bits throughout the day are going to help you get there a little bit more. I wrote Only Human, and it was initially aimed at men to help them just take small steps to reshape their lives. But it's really applicable to anybody who wants to understand a little bit more about how the mind works. And then I use a formula called MENS, which is mindset, exercise, nutrition, and sleep. And then we've got the Ayurvedic kind of breath work side of things as well, which I love to weave into to my one-on-one coaching. So really the book is for anyone who wants to dive into life coaching and what life coaching could look like, because it literally life coaches you through the page. So it's pretty much your own workbook for optimal living. You know, I was drawn to Ayurveda because of the Body Shop when I was about 13. And there was just they did this range, the Ayurvedic range, and they had all these different smells. And I've always been really drawn to it and interested. And then again, sort of probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I met an incredible, she's now my mentor, Harmony, in Australia, and she's an Ayurvedic specialist. And it was her that helped me on my path, my healing journey through perimenopause. And I believed in the transformation so much, and just the fact that these techniques have been like passed down through the centuries is evidence enough to me that it works. And the big thing that the big takeaway that I've taken from it, and I'm by no means an expert, is that it detaches the person to the condition. So it's about just an imbalance in the body. So if I'm presenting with depression, I might get hooked on that as a feeling, like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I be better? Why can't I get myself out of bed? It becomes very inward focused. But when I learned Ayurveda, it was like, okay, so depression, you've just got an imbalance of your constitution, and like attracts like. So if I'm feeling depressed and heavy, I'm likely going to eat heavy foods, watch Netflix, not get out of bed. But opposites attract, opposites balance out. So then if I do something that's the opposite of that, effleurage or some body brushing, maybe get outside for a walk, eat some more energizing food, then all of a sudden I've created a difference in my body and the energy has started to shift. So I loved the fact that it wasn't like, you have depression, you have anxiety, label. It was, there's energy that needs to be shifted, and how can I do that using food, mindfulness, breath work, and movement. So yeah, it's so exciting. It's very cool.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Women on Fire. If you love what we share, please subscribe and give us a rating and or a review. In addition, visit the Men Know Me YouTube channel, where you can subscribe and watch all of the interviews. That's the best way to support this podcast so we can continue to bring it to you. Thank you for your interest in midlife, menopause, and women on fire. Let's keep this fire.